Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Human Rights Demand. Stop mandatory vaccines.
All pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hands was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but the ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. From mental slavery, none but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. These songs of freedom.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here at Human Rights Demand. Tonight, we will continue our discussion that started last week regarding mandatory vaccines for everyone in America. Yes, mandatory vaccinations for everyone in the United States of America, including adults. That is what's on the table. I'm looking at an article right now, and it's by right.is. Right.is. And it says the U.S. government moves on a nationwide adult vaccination. The U.S. government moves on nationwide adult vaccination. The article says that published on February 6, 2015, amid the measles outbreak media frenzy, the Health and Human Services Department is accepting public comment on its draft National Adult Immunization Plan until March 9, 2015. Under the NAIP, and that's short for the National Adult Immunization Plan, under the NAIP, all adult American citizens will be compelled, can you spell compelled, commanded, ordered, will be compelled to receive current and retroactive vaccination regimens that may amount to several dozen shots per individual during their catch-up phase. Under the federally mandated, can we say that again? Federally mandated immunization schedule, children presently receive 49 vaccines before age 6. Let's just let that sink in a minute. Okay? Several dozen shots, federally mandated. Several dozen shots per individual, federally mandated. That's really something, isn't it? People are making plans for your bodies. The NAIP underscores how the adult schedule includes catch-up vaccinations for those adults who never initiated or did not complete a multi-dose series when vaccination was first recommended during childhood. Catch-up vaccinations include vaccines such as measles, mumps, rubella, which are routinely recommended for administration during childhood. So here you are, if you're 60, 70, 80, and maybe you grew up in a time when vaccination was not enforced. And what they're saying is that they want to introduce measles, mumps, rubella, etc. into your body now at age 70 and 80 in order for you to develop immunity to it or not. Okay? All adults, several dozen shots, federally mandated. Are we getting the picture now? The National Vaccine Plan. The NAIP is intended to supplement the National Vaccine Plan, published in conjunction with the ACA. I don't know why they love all of these abbreviations. I don't know what the ACA is. The HHS, I know that's the Health and Human Services, I guess, describes the NBP, that's the National Vaccine Plan, as a guiding vision for back 2010 through 2020 and strategic direction for coordination of immunization enterprise in the United States. I'm glad they called that an enterprise. You know, it reminds me of entrepreneurial activities. It reminds me of a business plan. Enterprise. That's a good word for that. Because if everybody in the whole country is to be federally mandated to take vaccinations, then that is undoubtedly a very financially healthy enterprise for drug manufacturers, especially since it is my understanding from another time period when they were discussing mandated vaccines and forced vaccinations. When they were discussing it before, it was in 2009, when they came out with the H1N1 vaccination. They were discussing mandatory vaccines back then. And the Baxter stock went through the roof. It was very lucrative to even discuss mandatory vaccinations. I mean, it went through the roof because they were having these discussions. Now, they're discussing it again, and it's too late for you to make a comment about it to the HHS, because they only took comments until the 15th of March, 2015. But since this thing is on the table and they are putting it before the American public that they have designs on your body, plans for your body, I know that a lot of people didn't know about the time period they had to discuss this with the government. A lot of people didn't know that they only had until early March to get in their objections, if they have objections. So we're doing that now. We're accepting comments here at Blog Talk Radio at Human Rights Demand. We're accepting comments regarding how you feel about mandatory vaccinations. And we're doing this every Wednesday night for a while. Now, sometimes we may get kicked off of Blog Talk Radio due to technical difficulties, which technical difficulties happen generally around controversial subject matters, like whether or not you have the right of say-so over your body or whether someone else does. I feel like that's a fair conversation. I think it's right for us to be able to have that conversation. However, it has been challenged whether we have the right to discuss this or not. And so I want you to know that we do, when we get kicked off by technical difficulty at Blog Talk Radio, we do continue the conversations at freeconferencecall.com. And I will give you that number. But and you can also look online. My name is Mary Neal, and online I go by Mary Loves Justice. And we have use of the freeconferencecall.com number in connection with AIMI, A-I-M-I, versus the USA. And so use that same number. Just put in Mary Loves Justice, AIMI versus USA, and you'll see a free conference call .com number. And that's the number that we would meet back at if we get kicked off of Blog Talk Radio by technical difficulty tonight. Anyway, I tell you what, it's really something. Here you are, you know, especially people who didn't, as the article said, who did not finish their regimen of childhood vaccinations. People who didn't finish their regimen of childhood vaccinations may be in their 70s now, or 80s or 90s, and particularly susceptible to death and disease if they introduce new drugs in their bodies. Nevertheless, it seems like there's a preference for vaccinating those people. That's an interesting concept. I'm going to be right back with you. I want you to hear about freedom again. The music we came on to was Redemption by Bob Marley. And now we'll hear from Nina Simone, I Wish That I Knew What It Was to Be Free. Those mandates that many of us were to take our vaccine or miss school or what have you. You know, in other words, you know, the Social Security group, the group of people, the baby boomers and those born before that, who are now getting Social Security and other benefits. They're getting pensions from their jobs. My goodness. In addition to all of the money that will be made by holders from vaccine companies, look at the money that could be saved by these big corporations paying pensions if all of these senior citizens who are being forced to take dozens, it said dozens of vaccinations, dozens. If all of these senior citizens who are forced to take dozens of vaccinations get those diseases and suddenly die, I mean, look at all the pension money that could be saved, in addition to Social Security money that could be saved, and all the money that could be earned through pharmaceutical investments. So this is really something to consider. Why would the government want to spend possibly millions or maybe even over $1 billion to enforce vaccinations? Many of the people that they want to vaccinate now understand that they may not have the money to pay for their own dozens of vaccinations. So if you say it's enforced, then you must be planning on supplying the shots. Why would the government that's too broke for a jobs program, that's too broke to help students much with their student loans, that are too broke to have free community college, that are too broke to do anything much for its own citizens, why would they want to spend possibly over $1 billion giving everybody shots? Huh? Why would they want to do that? Isn't that something? And we're basically a happy, healthy populace. Americans are basically healthy. I mean, there aren't that many communicable diseases raging about right now. Now, listen, please, don't kick off some communicable diseases to excuse a national vaccination plan for adults. Please don't do that. But I'm just saying, you know, I like that. I'm just saying, what is going on? Why does everybody in America suddenly need vaccination to the point that that is prioritized over our infrastructure, which I understand is falling apart, bridges that are old and crumbling, potholes every damn where, our children don't have recreational programs anymore, they don't have much hope of getting employed. The unemployment rate among black youths in some areas is over 90%. No jobs. But, you know, there's no job program because there's not money for that. But this government that doesn't have money for things that are needed, you know, it has money to make everybody take vaccines. Now, that's going to take a lot of money because they've already had to buy all of these bullets and all of this ammunition, all of these guns, because that's what it's going to take to vaccinate some people. I mean, you know, and they know that, and they prepared for that. they've got the bullets and they've got the guns. And there's something going on. Let's lift every voice and sing about it. Let's sing. I'll be right back.
A cappella, lift every voice. Beautiful.
Well, hi, ladies and gentlemen. The recording said I'm unmuted, but the radio board still has my phone. Okay, all right. So now I want to let you know that was, of course, lift every voice and sing. That's the so-called Black National Anthem. you know, black Americans, they call African Americans. I prefer to say black Americans because I don't necessarily believe that all Africans, all blacks in this country, migrated from Africa any later than many white people in this country. In other words, all life began in Africa. And so, you know, to say African American is to tie black people more intimately with Africa than other races. And I really don't know whether that's true. There were Native American tribes that were blacker than I am, black people, and all throughout America there were black Native Americans, in other words, black indigenous people here in Turtle Island, living on Turtle Island. That's what the original people called America, Turtle Island. And so I don't like to say African American because I think that all mankind, blacks, Caucasians, and Asians, originated in Africa. That's because I'm a Christian. I believe in one mother, Eve, and I believe that science has already documented that all people's DNA is tied to a single mother, and she was in Africa. She was a black woman. And so the term African-American, you see, applying that to all black people, it ties us to Africa more intimately than other people. And we have no proof that that is so of the vast majority of black people in this country. If you look at some, if you study some pictures, you know, of Africans and compare them to the black people in America, and also compare the black people in America to some other indigenous people, like the people of West Papua and the people in South America who are indigenous and they're black, you will see that we look more like indigenous Western Hemisphere people than we do to Africans. Now, I don't know what the bloodline would show, but I do know that there were plenty of blacks in America well before that first slave ship came here, and I think it's more or less a real estate swindle to appoint all blacks to the name African American. I think that's just a real estate swindle. This land is my land. This land is your land. This land belongs to you and me. And we have no idea, as black people in America, how very true that is. And now the government is ready to enforce vaccinations on adults, healthy adults. For the most part, we don't have communicable diseases raging through our communities. And that is, of course, what vaccinations are intended to prevent. They're intended to prevent communicable diseases from raging in the land. And we don't have that happening, but we do have a very paternal government, very paternal, who have decided to do what they will with our bodies. These are our bodies. And I saw a body today in a drawing, and there was a U.S. government, property of U.S. government, on the man's buttocks. Property of U.S. government had been probably, you know, tattooed on his butt. The thing is that, you know, if you check your body, I check my body, we don't have such a stamp. But we're being treated that way because the government is having meetings to decide whether or not to make adults take federally mandated vaccinations. And this is real. The article that I'm reading from is U.S. government moves on nationwide adult vaccination. It's in the Right, R-I-G-H-T dot I-S, Right Is. So I invite you to look at that article. It's dated February 27th, 2015. And, you know, I talk to some people who are very current regarding news and information. And for some reason, they didn't know this. And I believe the reason they didn't know this is because even though it's published and people do know about it, the information that the government is considering enforcing vaccinations on every adult in this country has not been, to my understanding, published on television news. And unfortunately, a lot of people, no matter how unreliable television news has proved itself to be, they really do not seek news elsewhere. So therefore, this information has missed a lot of people who don't know that as they go about their daily business, the U.S. government is deciding when, where, and how to pump their bodies full of mandatory vaccinations. I'm going to read a little bit more about this. It says the NAIP is intended to supplement the National Vaccine Plan, published in conjunction with the ACA. The HHS describes the NVP as a guiding vision for vaccination for the decade 2010 through 2020 and strategic direction for coordination of the immunization enterprise. That's where we broke off before, enterprise. In the USA, NAIP, page 9, by highlighting the alleged public health problem posed by the low vaccination rates of U.S. adults. Don't they know about stuff? We got a public health problem, and it's caused, according to these people, by the low vaccination rates of U.S. adults, but they intend to fix the problem. Now, we don't know what the public health problem is. Is the public health problem that we have too many people growing older and collecting Social Security? Is that the public health problem? Is the public health problem that, you know, what is the public health problem? You know, but they're highlighting the alleged public health problem posed by low vaccination rates of U.S. adults. Since the public health problem is not that we got a lot of U.S. adults breaking out with mumps and measles and rubella, that's not the public health problem. Okay. So if this is to highlight the alleged public health problem, it is not that adults are coming down with a bunch of communicable diseases. That's what I'm saying. So they didn't say what problem. You know, I think the problem could be that we're getting an aging, a growing aging population. I'll go on. It says the NAIP is intended to promote coordinated planning and action across all stakeholder groups. The 52-page document reads, including those within the outside of the federal government. Page 6. In addition to the health and personnel-related agencies within HHS purview, such as Centers for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administration, other government and stakeholder groups include the Department of Defense, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, the vaccine industry, and academic research organizations. Do you understand who the stakeholder groups are? You know? My goodness. They mention everybody but the people. Those are the stakeholder groups. The people named as stakeholder groups. Did you get that? Or do you need me to read you the stakeholder groups again? Are you a little bit concerned? I am. I'm a little bit concerned at the stakeholder groups. I'm glad, though, that the government asked for our opinion on this mandatory vaccinations for all adults in America. It made me feel better that they asked for our opinions. But I've got to tell you the truth. I've been trying to give my opinion and notify other people that the government is interested in our opinion. And I encountered lots of interference from hackers. And it's almost as though they're not as open to opinion as stated. Now, that's something I've experienced, that, you know, there's a lot of hacking going on when it comes to people wanting to discuss the issue of national mandatory vaccines for everybody. There's some problem there. There's some disconnect there between what's said and what I'm experiencing. I can only talk about what I experience. And it doesn't feel like to me that opinion is as welcomed as said. And you can see from the stakeholder groups that we're not in it, not in this paragraph anyway. I'm not reading the whole document, but you and I are not listed as a stakeholder group, and it's our arms, legs, buttocks. It's our body, okay? And we're not listed. Let me read it again. It said NAIP is intended to promote coordinated planning and action across all stakeholder groups. The 52-page document reads, including those within and outside of the federal government. Outsiders, that must be the pharmaceutical companies and others. In addition to the health and personnel-related agencies within HHS's purview, such as the Centers for Disease Control and the Food and Drug Administration, other government and stakeholder groups include, now look at this list, because they definitely going to have an interest in this, okay? They're stakeholders in this, okay? Because there would be great objection to enforced vaccination. So it also includes Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, the vaccine industry, and academic research organizations. How about that? This, you know, vaccinations or are health related. But to carry this thing over, they made stakeholders of the DOD, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Justice. And haven't they been acting very, haven't they been proving how concerned they are about Americans? Don't they prove that? The Department of Justice particularly. Haven't they shown how concerned they are about Americans? You know, nobody would force you to take vaccinations. They were very concerned about your health. Very concerned about your health. And the Department of Justice has sometimes been written down as being the Department of Injustice, and I think that's well deserved. But now they're going to be involved, along with the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, the vaccine industry, academic research organizations. They're going to be involved. The Department of Justice is going to be involved with these stakeholders in getting your butt vaccinated. How about that? Isn't that interesting? I think it is. I think that is very interesting. The plans the U.S. government is making for Americans. I only tell you about these things at great to myself, because I have great love for you. I want you to know my name is Mary Neal. I am the station director here at Human Rights Demand, and we need to be informed. We must seek knowledge, and we must try to pass our knowledge one to another, because we've got one love. We've got one love. I'll be right back.
Crying.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Bob Marley. He's saying, let's get together and feel all right. We've got one love. Now, you know the issue is that when the foreclosure rate went so high in America, and many, many people suffered, and some died, but I think a lot of the deaths were caused by people committing suicide and killing their families and stuff, because some people are just that attached to things that when they lose things, they kill themselves and their families. And some people die from nervous conditions and from anxiety, stress. So the housing market, when it crashed, it took a lot of people with them. But yet and still, that was, you know, it was very important, but it still was just property, material things. But now we're talking about our health and strength, which is a totally different matter. It is totally different to lose a house. Even it's very important to have four walls and a roof. But, you know, there are so many people who don't have that. You know, they rent apartments, they rent houses, and there are even people who have managed to survive living on the street. But when you talk about mandatory vaccinations, you know, you're talking about the possibility of ending your healthy life. Now, that's just real. Let's be real. As I said on our first episode of Stop Mandatory Vaccines, and that was last Wednesday night, and as I said then, some people are allergic to aspirin. Aspirin is such a common drug that most people use and think nothing of it, but there are some people for whom taking an aspirin could be potentially fatal. And so I don't believe everybody is going to be able to stand a regimen of dozens of vaccinations enforced by the government, by the Department of Defense, enforced by the Justice Department. What are they going to do? They're going to camp outside of folks' house and start shooting them but not taking their vaccinations. This sounds like a war to me. Did you hear me say who the stakeholders are? You know, the stakeholders that were listed in the article anyway were not you and I. They were not. So hopefully we're stakeholders someplace in that document. Now, whenever you're choosing a lawyer, I hope by now you know that you must check that lawyer online, because online services, the internet, that is the only avenue for mass communications that your fellow working class and poor citizen has. We don't. Our stories will never get on mainstream news. At least not in the light that we would want them to. And so the only place you have to check references is on the internet. So say you check references and you get a lawyer because your grandmother was forced to take dozens and dozens of vaccines and she died. Who's the lawyer going to sue? Not the U.S. government. The U.S. government has, before any of this comes up, they've already absolved themselves, in other words, exempted themselves from being sued for forcing people to take these vitamins. So if they're deadly or if they're crippling, whatever they are, they've been exempted by themselves from suffering any wrongful lawsuits or personal lawsuits. And the government also pre-exempted, they exempted already the manufacturers of these drugs, as well as administering doctors and nurses. You have to let this see. That's been taken care of. Everybody's exempted but you and your body. Your body is eligible to suffer and die from mandatory vaccines. And all of your potential dependents have been absolved, have been already pronounced exempt from lawsuits. So it doesn't matter if you have the best lawyer on earth. He's not going to take your case. You know, he's not, because he doesn't have anyone to sue. And even if you've got the best lawyer on earth and he's willing to take your case, he's not going to get a damn thing, because they just simply have said, I remember when I was a little girl, we said, twiddly-dee, you know, little magic words, abracadabra. We say those little magic words. They have already locked a barrier between people who will die or suffer personal injuries from these vaccines. They've already locked you out of court. You won't get your case in court if you or your children or your mother or your grand aunt, if any of you die from this, you just do like they wanted me to do when they secretly arrested and murdered my brother. You will do it. And that is, they wanted us to simply say, you know, where's the fried chicken, and go home. You know, go to the funeral, come back from the funeral, eat fried chicken, and go home. They didn't want us suing for anything. They secretly arrested and killed Larry Neal, and we weren't allowed to even ask for the records of arrest, for the record of his fatal arrest. And it's very disturbing that the Department of Justice is one of the stakeholders in this whole affair. Because the situation is, I haven't found any of the stakeholders that they named to be absolutely exemplary and to be people who are concerned about Americans in all cases at all times. I don't find that to be so, you see. So, you have to look at a person's record and in order to determine how much trust and faith to put in a doctor. A lot of people look online to see what a person's record is or to see what lawyer they want. A lot of people check with the bar associations. I want to tell you, honey, ooh-wee, that's the wrong place to check, because as long as that bar member is paid up on their dues, they're not telling you anything negative about that lawyer. That's it. And, you know, when you are looking for a school, you might check references for the school, make sure they're accredited, et cetera. So it's important to check references, because then you get a good idea of what your opinion needs to be. And we're talking about the fact that Americans had until March 9th to give their opinion regarding the plan to enforce mandatory vaccines on all Americans. And I think that if they were interested up until March, I think they're still interested in your opinions on that. I think they are. So that's why we have this show. And the telephone number is 347-857-3293. That's 347-857-3293. We have this show so that you can look at it as an extended time period to give your opinions regarding federally mandated vaccinations for every person in the USA. Federally mandated vaccinations. And I tell you who the stakeholders are. And I think that the government will be interested in your opinions, even though you're months late delivering it. So you be sure to call in. We're going to go on air with Stop Mandatory Vaccines every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Last Wednesday night, we had Dr. Shirley Moore join us, and she told us about a what she said was a House bill. It was 15090. Again, that's H House bill, 15090. And I looked at it. I looked at pictures of it in Google Images, and I saw it just like she said. And I also published it at my Facebook wall and at my Google Plus wall because it's very interesting. I saw what was said to be a House bill, and according to Dr. Shirley Moore, it passed in 1970. And it was a bill that put forth the plan to use AIDS to depopulate African Americans. Depopulate African Americans. In other words, Black Americans. And then also, when we got Blog Talk Radio, after Dr. Shirley finished talking, we continued the program at freeconferencecall.com. And when we got over there, Dr. Randy Short talked to us about mandatory vaccinations. And Dr. Short always has so much information. And he talked to us about it. And so that is terrific when we can talk about such things as mandatory vaccinations. I think that over there we talked about Depo-Provera and how it is capable of causing sterilization and how that was given out to people. We talked a little bit about the Tuskegee experiments. And I was reading to the audience a short history, a document called A Short History of America's, the U.S. Government for Human Life. And that document is online. A Short History of U.S. Government, Respect for Human Life. And it was published by whatreallyhappened.com. And it says this is a WRHART article. Bio war. And what this article lists is a great number of human experiments done by the U.S. government. And we need to know about these. Again, we're talking about checking references before you give your legal case to a lawyer. You need to check references. And I don't mean with the organizations that they pay dues to, like the bar associations. They pay them dues. So Don't tell me you check with the bar associations, because that's just like checking with somebody's mama for a job reference. Of course, their mama's going to say they do a great job. You know, that's not checking. So when you check with the bar associations and lawyers pay them, naturally they're going to say, you know, we don't have any complaints from them. What it is sometimes they haven't accepted any complaints. They haven't processed the complaints. And I'll tell you more about that on another show. But right now we're talking about enforced vaccinations. And we're talking about the need to check references. You know, you go to the doctor, you need to check the references on the doctor. You want to go to a certain college, they're going to check your references. Why not check out the references? So let me give you this phone number, because if we get booted off while I read you some of these references from the U.S. government and their respect for human life, if we get booted off, I want you to be able to connect with me. The telephone number to call is 605-562-0020. Again, that's 605-562-0020. And you can dial the code, which is 992-212-650. That's the code. And again, the code is 992-212-650. My telephone number is online all over the place. And if you ever lose that number, you just call me and ask me what it is. Okay, so we're going to read a little bit of this document that says, our government respect human life. And this document has experiments, human experiments, from the year 1833 all the way up, I believe, to 1970, just so many human experiments, 1997. And this list may not be exhaustive. In other words, there may be human experiments that have been done that are not listed in this document. Human experiments. I want to let you know that I want to ask your prayers for my brother who was in Vietnam, and obviously the government was experimenting with Agent Orange. And these are American troops. He was an American soldier. And he was experimented on, I guess, with this Agent Orange. They sprayed on our troops. And he has health problems now. I ask you to pray for him. You see, we have, you know, we have to check references. We must do that. So I'm going to start from, I don't know whether I should start all the way from the 1800s, but using people, even Americans, the human experiments, has gone on a great long time. It has. In 1833, Dr. William Beaumont, an army surgeon physician, pioneers gastric medicine with his study of a patient with permanently open gunshot wound to the abdomen, and writes a human medical experimentation code that asserts the importance of experimental treatments, but also lists requirements stipulating that human subjects must give voluntary, informed consent and be able to end the experiment when they want. Beaumont's code lists verbal rather than just written consent as permissible. So he was doing a study on people with open gunshot wounds to the abdomen. And he said that they must be able to give consent to be used as test subjects. But just nod your head and say, it's good enough. It doesn't have to be written. And then in 1845, Marion Sims, later hailed as the father of gynecology, performs medical experiments on enslaved African women without using anesthesia. These women would usually die of infection soon after surgery. Based on his belief that the movement of newborn skull bones during protracted births causes trismus, he also uses a shoemaker's awl, a pointed tool shoemakers use to make holes in leather, to practice moving the skull bones of babies born to enslaved mothers. So, he's sticking stuff in the baby's head while the baby's in the mother's womb. And in some cases, he's killing both the enslaved African women as well as the babies. And again, there's that term African women. And I've told you that the term African and black should not be interchangeable as it is. Because you can be black without being African in any greater sense than the white person who wrote it, okay, who wrote the book that you're reading. Okay, the West Papua people have been indigenous to those islands forever, just there. That's where they live. And they look like black Americans. So, all people are Africans. All people are. But there are some who are black and some who are white and some who are yellow. You know, we're just emphasizing the color scheme. There are no real white people. There are no real, I guess, yellow people. There are real black people. So, you know. But in any case, black would be a better terminology than African, because all life began in Africa. We who are in America have a very good chance of being indigenous Americans and from indigenous Americans. Okay, let's move on. New York pediatrician Henry Hyman infects a 4-year-old boy whom he calls an idiot with chronic epilepsy. He infects him with gonorrhea as part of a medical experiment, and that was in 1895. You know, this document is full of experiments, and as far as I know, none of these people who've done these experiments, painful, gruesome, sometimes deadly experiments, none of them have been charged, as far as I know, with criminal offenses or went to jail for doing these experiments. We're checking references before the U.S. government enacts mandated vaccinations. This is what we're doing. I told the people last week about medical experiments done on young black girls in the town where I was raised in Tennessee. They were given Depo-Provera shots, little girls, 15 years old, in 1970. And we discovered that Depo-Provera was not really legal to administer in America until 1992. That was done by the U.S. Health Department. They were giving minors, little children, 15 years old, Deborah Bevere shots in 1970. And they didn't ask would they take part in the study. The little girls thought they were getting a bona fide, certified, legal birth control, but they were not. They were being used. That was in 1970. And that's around the time that the Tuskegee experiment were, being exposed. And I think they quit the Tuskegee experiments in 1972. But they had been going on apologize, everyone. I was booted off air. So I do apologize. We're going to close the show out in 10 minutes and go off air. But I wanted to let you know how important it is to check the references. And the U.S. government is making plans for your body. Have you ever applied for a government job? Have you ever applied for a government loan, a government grant, or anything from the government? Have you applied for food stamps or disability or anything from the government? If you have, you know that the government does not give you a job or disability or anything else without having you write many pages of information about yourself and your circumstances. And if you're going to apply for jobs, you must give references. And yes, they do check your references. I worked for the U.S. government. It was one of my early jobs when I came out of high school. I worked for Internal Revenue Service. And yes, they do check. Years later, I had an occasion to get a look at my high school transcript. And out of all the different jobs I had worked, by the time I looked at my transcript, the only two places that had ever really checked to make sure that I was indeed who I said I was, a high school graduate, was the government and Bell South. Those were the only two places that had checked. So I want you to know that the government checks references, and I don't see anything at all wrong with you being as careful with your body as the government is careful about everything that we want done, whether it's we want a job or we want government benefits or we want a government loan or grant. We're thoroughly checked out. And now the government is ready to enforce vaccinations. And my phone hangs up when I'm talking about the need to check their references before you turn over your body. So I don't appreciate that. I just want to say that I'm reading from the document called What Really Happened? Bio War. And the name of the document really is a short history of U.S. government respect for human life. Does our government respect human life the way it claims to do? Hardly. And being a soldier is no deterrent. Ignore for a moment the lies surrounding some of the recent events. And just look at this document and see what you think about the references. I'm going to skip ahead now. I was reading from the 1800s, but I'm going to go now to 1950 to 53. It says the U.S. Army releases chemical clouds over 6 American and Canadian cities. Residents in Winnipeg, Canada, where a highly toxic chemical called cadmium, is dropped, subsequently experienced high rates of respiratory illnesses, and that is Cockburn and St. Clair, EDS. That was between 1950 and 1953. Also in 1950, in order to determine how susceptible an American city could be to a biological attack, the U.S. Navy sprays clouds of Bacillus globulisi, let me spell it, B-A-C-I-L-L-U-S, second word, G-L-O-B-I-G-I-A. They spray clouds of that bacteria from ships over the San Francisco shoreline. According to monitoring devices situated throughout the city to test the extent of infection, the 8,000 residents of San Francisco inhale 5,000 or more bacteria particles. Many became sick with pneumonia-like symptoms. At least one death is known. And that's G-O-L-I-S-C-E-K. That's in parentheses. In 1950, Dr. Joseph Strokes of the University of Pennsylvania infects 200 female prisoners with viral hepatitis to study the disease. And that's in parentheses, S-H-A-R-A-V. Dr. Joseph Stokes of the University of Pennsylvania infects 200 female prisoners with viral hepatitis to study the disease. Also in 1950, doctors at the Cleveland City Hospital studied changes in cerebral blood flow by injecting test subjects with spinal anesthesia, inserting needles into jugular veins and bronchial arteries, tilting their heads down, and after massive blood loss causes paralysis and fainting, measuring their blood pressure. They often perform this experiment multiple times on the same subject, and that's torture, isn't it? Torture. They were torturing people. They were injecting test subjects with spinal anesthesia, inserting needles in their jugular veins and bronchial arteries, tilting their heads down, and after massive blood loss, caused paralysis and fainting. Then they measure their blood pressure. I guess so, to see if they still have blood pressure. I mean, that's absolute torture. And that was done at the Cleveland City Hospital. Also in 1950, Dr. Ewan Cameron, later of MK Ultra infamy, due to his 1957 to 1964 experiments on Canadians, published an article in the British Journal of Physical Medicine in which he describes experiments that entail forcing schizophrenic patients at Manitoba's Brandon Mental Hospital to lie naked under 15 to 200 watt red lamps for up to 8 hours per day. His other experiments include placing mental patients in an electric cage that overheats their internal body temperature to 103 Fahrenheit and inducing comas by giving patients large injections of insulin. Something else, isn't it? An array of germ warfare weapons is allegedly used against North Korea from 1950 to 1953. Accounts claim that there were releases of feathers infected with anthrax, fleas, and mosquitoes dosed with plague and yellow fever, and rodents infected with a variety of diseases. The Eisenhower administration later pressed sedition charges against three Americans who published charges of these activities. However, none of those charges were convicted. So Eisenhower got angry when three Americans published news about the germ warfare against North Korea between 1950 and 1953. But let me ask you, weren't our soldiers also there during the Korean War? I mean, you know, if they're sending germ-infested feathers, isn't it conceivable that it was also harmful to Americans? It seems it would be. So we'll continue to talk about these things next Wednesday night. We're checking references regarding federally mandatory vaccinations of our human bodies. Everybody, even pregnant women, everyone. And I want to thank you for joining us. And we're going to continue this conversation next week, Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Meanwhile, if you see anything interesting or can add to this conversation, we'd like to hear from you next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Mary Neal, Station Director at Human Rights Demand. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So that's why we are going to take the government up on its offer to give public comment regarding how we feel about mandatory vaccines. Even though we're late, we're doing it late because the last date to give public comment was March 9th, 2015. And we're several months late, but we believe that the government will still be interested in what we have to say about mandatory vaccinations of our bodies. And we thank you for joining us. Tune in again next Wednesday night. And have some comments next Wednesday, some questions, whatever. Thank you very much.